2.
Again, we're going to look together into the Word of God, this marvelous, marvelous book called the Bible, wherein we can hear God speaking to us. How wonderful this is. Yes, it's wonderful to a point. That is, if only we could only read beautiful things, nice things, comforting things in the Bible, and didn't have to read the whole Bible. But if we're going to read the Bible and listen to the Word of God, we have to listen to everything He has to say. And then we run into chapter after chapter and phrase after phrase and sentence after sentence that indicates the fact of God's righteous wrath on sin. And we don't mind too much as long as that righteous wrath is on those sinners out there, those despicable people who are prostitutes and murderers and thieves and all kinds of ugly things that are going on there. But what really gets uncomfortable is when God begins to talk about sin where the gospel is, where there are those who claim to be Christians, and then, oh, that's another story. We're not that excited anymore about listening to the Word of God. Now, as we've been going through Jeremiah chapter 7, God has given us the book of Jeremiah, and we've approached it in the book of Jeremiah in many of its chapters. We have found repeatedly that God is warning that judgment has come upon those who claim to call themselves Christian. How terrible, how terrible. But that is really the setting of the book of Jeremiah. It is pointing right at those who call themselves Christian and who are not truly a child of God. And that's why we're reading so many negative things. We're in Jeremiah 7, and in verse 4, God gives us the setting of a major theme, and there are minor themes, of course. There's a whole lot of information in each verse and each chapter of the Bible, but particularly this theme is running through Jeremiah 7 in verse 4, where he says, "Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." In other words, God is saying, don't trust in your church. The temple of the Lord was typified by the Old Testament temple, where they felt that if with the Ark of the Covenant there in the Holy of Holies, and with the priesthood offering the sacrifices there, and the cherubim over the Ark, and so on, that is where God was, and that is what we can trust in. And that was actually typifying the New Testament churches and congregations. God uses that same figure in 1 Corinthians 3, where He says we are being built up into a temple of God. And God is saying, now don't trust in that physical manifestation of the kingdom of God, because that was the Old Testament temple, that is the New Testament churches and congregations. Don't trust. And yet He faults the reader as He says in verse 8, "Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit." Ye trust in lying words. Now, what did those lying words have to do? Remember verse 4? "Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." But you do trust in lying words. In other words, it is an indictment. It is a charge that God is making against the local congregations. You do trust in your church. We, of course, today are in a very unique position, because we're in that time of great tribulation when God's judgment has come on the local congregations. And as we are teaching as carefully and extensively and intensively as possible, that God does have, that we have come to that time, giving ample biblical evidence of this, that God's judgment is on the local congregations and God does command us to come out, we're finding that most people have no interest in coming out there. Where is their trust? Is their trust in the Bible, or is their trust in the temple of the Lord? And that is where the lying words are. Now, God develops that in verse 9, which is the beginning of our study today. Remember verse 8 says, "Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods, whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations?" Well, now wait a minute. That immediately exonerates everybody today, because what church is burning incense to Baal? In what church are they murdering? In what local congregation do we see adultery going on left and right? Come on, this immediately means that it's talking about something else, certainly not about the local congregations today. Why, you go into any church and you don't see people stealing or murdering or burning incense to Baal. What does this have to do with us? Well, the fact is, remember, Christ spoke in parables. He spoke in parables, and without a parable he did not speak. And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. We have to look at the spiritual meaning of these words. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery? When we talk about stealing, you know, there are a lot of different ways to steal. You can have a gun and you can go up to someone and says, "Give me your billfold," and so you can steal his billfold. You can walk into a store and tell the clerk to empty the cash register and you can steal the money from the cash register. Or you can be a pickpocket and steal without someone knowing that he has been stolen, that his billfold has been stolen. Or perhaps you can quietly enter a building, a home, or whatever, without the owners knowing about it, and steal prized possessions of some kind and leave. And in any case, you're stealing. Or you can do it by counterfeiting. For example, you can, I could give 1,000 illustrations. You know, all of us have a sinful enough mind so we can walk in the shoes of a thief without too much trouble. And we do know there are many ways to steal. Another way to steal, for example, there are the crown jewels. In a very special building with guards at the gates and so on, and someone could come there as a courier, dressing like he, and with a forged letter from the king that the king wants to have the crown jewels delivered to this courier and brought to the king, and so it is done through deception. And in order to get the jewels out of that safe place and into the hands of the thief. There are lots of ways to steal. How do we steal in the churches? Well, you know, here in the churches, who is the featured guest? Who is the featured principal? Who is the featured? What's it all about? It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is eternal God. The whole church has been set up in order to feature the Lord Jesus and focus attention on Him, because He is the giver of salvation. He is the very essence of the gospel. And so there are those who come in the name of Christ. They are stealing His name for their own personal gain. They come in the name of Christ in order to gain a big fat livelihood for themselves. All you have to do is watch your TV screens and see some of these people who are merchandising the gospel on various gospel programs, and you see it. All they're interested in is getting money. They want to steal the name of Christ and the whole institution of the local congregation in order to further their own desire for power or authority or for adulation or for getting the respect of others as they become a fancier and fancier preacher. In other words, they are using the things of God to further their own personal interests, and that is stealing. That is absolutely stealing, and this is going on all the time. If a church throughout the church age was really doing the work of God, it would mean that the pastor and the elders would be very humble people. They would be just featuring the Word of God. There would be no self-interest. They would not be in this occupation or in this position in order to get power or to get adulation to themselves or to exercise their pride or to make money. Or why do you think that so many churches want to have a brand new building? A brand new building, when the old building, and all they have to do is maybe put a little addition on it, or maybe have two services instead of one service, and this is just the meat and potatoes of what it always has been throughout the church age. Oh no, we need a new building. And that satisfies their pride. We want to have the most beautiful church in the city, and so on. They are stealing what belongs to God to further their own interests. And we're going to see that developed a little more when we get to the next verse, or the next couple of verses. What about murder? Is murder going on? Oh my. Of course there's no blood in the aisles as you attend church, but we've talked about this many times before, and it is the most terrible murdering that is imaginable, because here are people that are being told all is well with you. You are a child of God. You bring your children here and we'll pray for them, and we're going to baptize them, and in time you can expect that they're also a child of God and safe in the arms of Jesus. If God is not working, in the congregations anymore, it means that those that are there are being set up for the killing. And yet that is the death that is being set up for those who are in the churches. What about this matter of committing adultery? And you know, either we are married, before we're saved, we're married to the law of God, and any time we break the law of God, that is spiritual adultery. And even those in the churches who would like to believe they're married to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they're the bride of Christ, and if we are married to the bride of Christ, it means we are a true believer, and it does mean that when we sin, it is adultery. And of course, this is very heartbreaking to the true believer, because we don't want to sin. But if most of the people in the congregations are not saved, they're still married to the law of God, and every time they break the law, they are committing spiritual adultery. And so therefore, when they are saying, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has not said, when they come with their doctrines that are not faithful to the Word of God, that is, when they teach that you can divorce for fornication, or they teach that you can get yourself saved, you can accept Christ, or when they teach so many other things that are contrary to the Bible, they are actually committing adultery. Although in the process, they're also stealing. They're stealing the word of God and making it into their own word and modifying it in order to achieve their own personal interests. Their concern is not for truth. Their concern is for building up their congregation, getting more people in, or keeping people happy, or something of this nature. It is not the concern that the Bible offers, which should be the concern, namely the fact that of a person becoming altogether right before God. And swearing falsely, and burning incense unto Baal, and walking after other gods, which ye knew not. Now, any time. Of course, there's no physical burning incense to Baal. Baal was a heathen god that typifies something that is going on. It was at the high places that these heathen gods, Baal being one of the chief of these, and the word Baal meant Lord. That is the meaning of the word Baal. And at these high places, they would worship Baal and worship Asherah and worship other gods and claim that these are the gods who that were important to them, that they would serve them. Well, any time we have an authority that is different than the Bible itself and in its entirety, we have another gospel. We have another authority. And if we have another authority, we have another God that we're serving. There are a number of doctrines, and quite a number of doctrines, that are man-made, and they are not from the Bible. It means that that in principle, those who are believing those doctrines and trying to follow those doctrines are worshiping another god, because they have a different authority. They are not. It isn't from the Bible. It's from the Bible plus something else. And so, it is the worship of gods that they know not. What they have been taught is the God that they are to worship is Christ. The God that they ought to worship is Jehovah God. And they're claiming, we're worshiping Jehovah God. We're worshiping Christ. Even in a very, very wild situation where people are falling backward and all kinds of supernatural activity is going on that is directly from Satan, they are utterly convinced they are serving Christ. They are worshiping God, and they don't know that they are worshiping Satan, a God whom they know not. Because any gospel that is not faithful to the Word of God is the worship ultimately of Satan. And so we go on in verse 10, and this is what is going on now. And then you come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered. In other words, the big theme in the churches is salvation. We baptized 10 young people this past week. We have seen so many people become saved in our congregation. Salvation is the big theme. We had this massive crusade, and so many thousands of people became saved. We are delivered. We are delivered. But the fact is, if you are delivered, if you are saved, what is the product of that? We've gone through this again and again as we looked at the nature of salvation. When you're truly saved, there is a gigantic miracle that has happened in your life, in that you've been given a brand new resurrected soul in which you never want to sin again. So there's a tremendous change, and therefore in these churches and congregations throughout the church age, The fact is, there were those who did become saved simply because the gospel was there, and yet as we were approaching the beginning of the Great Tribulation and the fact that God's judgment was beginning to come on the churches, these people were getting more, who were truly saved, were getting more and more nervous about what was going on. Things are changing. The music is changing. The preaching is changing. The focal point of our church is changing. It's no longer to walk a holy life before God. It's more entertainment, and we're so happy together, and this is what we really desire. And there is this change, and if you become a true believer, you're going to get uneasy. And then as you learn from the Word of God, well, this fits into God's program, and we begin to find out that, yes, God, there will come a time when God's judgment is on the local congregations, and you will have to come out. Oh, I see. I see. Well, that's the way it is, what I'm seeing, and so I know I have to come out. But the fact is that they are convinced that they have become saved, and they are under the name of Christ, they carry the name of Christ, and yet they go on and do all of these abominations. They stay in their churches, and there's the stealing and the murdering and the worship of other gods going on blissfully. It goes on, it goes on, and it goes on.
Isn't the Lord marvelous the way He lays out this information for us? It isn't something that comes out of our own minds. It's something that comes right out of the Word of God. And I know for me, I anticipate every new study with eager anticipation, because I wonder what else is the Lord going to show us. And so let's be patiently waiting for our next study.